California conservative, a libertarian, a moderate Democrat, believe in common sense, or just a sane person, this is the political podcast for you. It's the California Underground Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. I am your host, Phil. Along with me, as always, is my trusted co-host, the best and fastest researcher in the West. And tonight we have probably another very, very good researcher, someone who handles a lot of data, who is one of the OG guests from California Underground. He was on many years ago, and we're glad to have him back to give us an update on what's going on with public officials, how much they're making. Todd Madison from Transparent California. Todd, welcome back to the show. How are you?
All right. Thanks, Phil. Good to meet you, Camille. Also, been listening to you guys for a while. So,
well, we definitely appreciate that. And like I said, you know, Camille loves diving into this sort of stuff. So I feel like this is sort of like up Camille's alley, learning about what you do in Transparent California. So why don't we just start right there? People who may have not heard you on our last time you were on, talk about Transparent California and what it is that you do.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks. So Transparent California is a public database. We're a watchdog agency. We specialize in public employee compensation. So all of the focal school superintendents, city managers, police and fire captains, teachers, dog catchers, landscape engineers, you know, whatever they are, if they work for a public agency in the state of California, our mission is to collect the data on their compensation. There's really nothing that is more prone to abuse in government than people using tax dollars to line their own pockets. There's really nothing that is, it needs the light of sunshine shine on it more than that. I think we would all agree. And that's what we do. You know, Transparent California, we collect almost 4 million records per year in the state of California. We've got about almost 4,300 records online going back to 2011 right now. So if anybody out there ever wants to go and look up and see what their local school district makes, what their local city government, their water district, their cemetery district, their hospital district, you know, whatever it is, we collect from over 3,000 public agencies in the state of California every year. And more than likely, if it's out there, we've got it. So that's the mission that we have.
So what got you inspired to hop into such an enormous task of gathering this much data?
It was an accident. So what actually happened is, so I was on your show before because I was the San Diego County Chair of School Choice, and K-12 education is kind of a hobby of mine. It's been a real interest more than a hobby. You know, back in the olden days when I was out working 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, you know, out there killing the buffalo, my wife was at school. She was our ambassador of schools. So she was out there volunteering in schools, being on the PTOs, PTAs, all this stuff. And I used to just kind of leave it to Maddie, take care of, you know, take care of it. You do a great job. That's awesome. Kids turned out great. When I finally got a little bit of free time in the early 2010s, I found out that the state had increased taxes, Proposition 30, some may remember. It was a tax increase designed to quote improve education. That's what it was for. But yet I didn't see any improvement happening, you know, in my local district. I didn't see class sizes going down. I didn't see better instructional materials. I didn't see science supplies. I didn't see things happening. But yet the school district was getting tens of millions of dollars more. So I started looking at it. My background in private industry, I was the director of a division of a national retailer. So I've spent a lot of time looking at budget documents and managing large groups of employees, trying to figure out how to make things work, you know, the way they should. I was in charge of customer service. So it was necessary for us to make customers happy. That was my job. So when I looked at this, I thought, okay, I'm going to apply those skills. I'm going to, if you use my Ninja Excel skills to figure out where the money's going in our school district and take a look at that, that led me to pay. Over 90% of unrestricted funds in our schools is spent on pay, labor, pay and benefits for the school, which makes sense. It's a people business. So in looking at that, that led me to Transparent California. So I started looking at the data there and started becoming a pain in the butt at school board meetings. I used to stand up and give a presentation every May during budget season. I would give a presentation to the Oceanside Unified School District, showing them exactly why they were going to run out of money based on their tendency to give themselves raises with all the extra money we were giving to them in tax dollars. So that actually led me to look at the data, and I found an error in the data, and I emailed Transfer in California and said, okay, you know, what's up with that? We need to fix this. Why can I get accurate data? And the guy in charge at the time, named Robert Fellner, said, well, if you think you can do better, how about if you join us? And so that's how I got into Transfer to California. I was an unpaid volunteer for years. And then eventually they decided to pay me a very small amount of money to be in charge of their data collection process. So I make roughly about 1/20th of what the state controller office analyst who does the same thing makes in this. So so starting in Transfer in California, like I say, eventually I became the director of research in charge of the data collection effort. So we make over 3,000 Public Records Act requests every year to collect that data for to click online for free for everybody to look at.
How many people does that take to accomplish that?
Well, we have myself, who is, well, we're all part-time. So we have myself, who's in charge of the project. We have two other people. We have one guy who's in charge of the special district collections, you know, all the cemetery districts and water districts and all that. And then we have a guy who specializes in formatting the data. So he takes all the weird data formats that agencies give us and turns that into something we can upload into the website.
I'm assuming they're emailing you files. You guys aren't making 100,000 calls throughout the year.
Hopefully. No, it's generally done via email. It's a somewhat automated process. When I first got started in this, it was Transfer in California had only been doing this for about 3 or 4 years, and it was like pulling teeth. I mean, people just do not, they don't want to get in your pay records, of course, right? So we used to have to feeding on them. It used to be a big part of the process over and over and over again. Nowadays, I think they've pretty much given up. I think they know that if they don't answer us, we're not just going to give up and go away. So we have a lot more success at just getting people to answer. Still, you know, there are agencies that refuse. We end up filing lawsuits periodically, you know, against those who don't want to provide the information. But by and large, it's somewhat routine these days.
Well, you brought up the state controller. At least you're not being investigated by the FBI. Is that right? Is that the state controller, Fiona Ma, who's being investigated by the FBI right now?
Am I getting that right? I've heard something about that, but I can't tell you any details of that. I'd have to, your researcher would have to look that up.
Give me a minute. We'd have to research it. So in terms of, you got started with schools, public schools. When did you start branching out into other parts of the government and say, well, it worked here with the schools, let's try this agency? What was the first agency after you started doing schools?
Well, Transfer California was always collecting from all agencies. So okay. When I came in, it was originally a project from the California Policy Center. Wesley, Lance Christensen, you know, all the people over there. They started Transfer California. So genesis of this, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but the city of Bell had a giant scandal.
Oh, yes.
And yes. So in the 2000s, it was discovered they knew the city of Bell, the city manager and the city council had been scratching each other's backs and raising each other's pay alternatively. And all pretty much totally legal because it was actually approved by the city council until the city manager was making $800,000 a year.
Back then when $800,000 a year was a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not now, of course. Buying a tank of gas, maybe. But no, so the city manager, you know, he ended up going to jail for this. It wasn't really legal. But as a result of that, in 2014, we passed AB 2040, which actually requires all of state agencies to import their compensation into the state of California, except schools. Schools are voluntary still. But everyone else is supposed to report in. Now, the critical issue there is that they aren't required to report names. They report positions.
Okay.
So if you look at any state agency, any local agency, how many different accountants do they have? How many different, except for the very top management, the titles are not unique. You know, there's often many, many people. Plus, we also find what we found in the past when Mika has uncovered is cases where people are actually collecting on disability claims at the same time that they're working for pay elsewhere. There's kind of a famous one. The guy who actually discovered the Boston Marathon bomber was working for the FBI, and he was actually on a disability claim from the state of California at the same time. So good on him. Glad he found the bomber, that's for sure. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, it's a double dimming. It's a violation of the rules and so on and so forth. So without names, you would never have that. So what we do is we piggyback on that law, because they are required to report in the state that because that data exists, which is a fundamental thing. That I don't know how much you guys know about the California Public Records Act, but it requires, you can only ask for existing data. You can't require any of the person you're asking or the agency you're asking to create anything for you. You can only ask for something that already exists. So because it already exists, because we know it exists, because the state requires it, that means we can go ask for it. So that's why we're able to do what we do.
So since the last time we talked, we were talking more about school choice, and we talked a little bit about transferring California. What have you found recently that is that listeners would find pretty shocking to hear where their tax dollars are going to?
Well, I think just the magnitude, the overall magnitude of pay, I think people don't understand. We have this myth, you know, that public employees are just grossly underpaid. You know, that's why we justify the massive pension payments and all this stuff. You know, you think of your local public employee and local administrative assistant, local gardener, local, you know, whatever it is, as barely making above minimum wage. You know, we're all empathetic to that. They do a great job. I mean, I have no problem paying them. But if you look at the actual data, there is over a million public employees in the state of California that make over $100,000 a year. So you know, that may not be riches these days, but it's certainly a decent income. And if you look at some of the other things, if you'd want to go for over $215,000 a year, you know, there's $100,090 employees making over $250,000 a year. 4,000 make over $500,000.
Wait. Say that. I got that. I thought you were saying 100,000. So 100,000 public workers make over $250,000 a year.
Yeah. Exactly.
How do I get one of those jobs? But like from home. Yes.
There's 492 that make over a million.
Shoot for the sky. I mean. Why not go for the 492?
Sounds like a greedy.
Yeah. And those are climbing rapidly. The over 500 club is up 10% the last year. The over million club is up 12% in just the last.
Okay, but seriously, what kind of positions are those?
Well, so the really high-end ones, there's a guy named Charles Kelly. He's a coach at UCLA. Obuz, I guess, paid over $5 million last year. So, you know, I mean, there are people like that. The highest end ranks tend to be populated by coaches. I think the five or six top are all coaches.
I'm always stuck on this. It costs money to go to UCLA. Why is that money not paying the coaches?
Well, it is. It's just government money. It's I don't know how much of that is tuition revenue that supports that. I mean, some of it is private. But ultimately, it's the government that cuts a check for that. So that's why we see it. We can't look at private money. I mean, any private organization. People ask me all the time for union. Hey, you know, they want to know how much the union president makes for this union or that union. But we can't look at that because they're a private entity.
What?
Yeah, the unions are all private entities. They're not often in union schools. The union president is often paid by the district, and then they're supposed to be reimbursed by the union. So sometimes we can see into that because they're paid by the school district.
Unions hate private industries. I'm so I'm so confused right now, and also a little bit mind blown because I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh yeah, no, unions are totally private. As a matter of fact, I forget the details, but there was an instance not too long ago where the unions were actually opposed to having their own employees organize as a union. And so, you know, I'd have to look up the details on that. I can't tell you off the bat.
Okay, that's entertaining.
I'm just still
in a sickening kind of way.
My head around 100,000 people make over $250,000. I mean, what does the governor make? The governor doesn't even make like
No, I think he makes like 175 or something. Like, he's not on our list.
That we know of.
That's what that means. You know, earlier we were talking elected officials really don't pay that much.
Right. And we can look up their pay easily. But like you said, what are they getting from behind in secret?
The back end deals are really where they make their money. But on the front end, you know, just as a couple of other examples. So there's a guy named James Hammond. He's the superintendent of schools in Ontario Montclair School District. Ontario Montclair, 83% of their families qualify for free lunch. So free lunch for a family of four is $39,000 a year. So 83% of their families make $39,000 a year or less. Mr. Hammond pays himself almost $700,000 a year as the superintendent of schools for that district. So, you know, that's just an example, and it's totally approved. It's totally legal. It's poured, you know, rubber stamped it. So, so it's all legal. I doubt that he's doing anything nefarious there. Montebello Unified, the superintendent in Swift, there made $1.5 billion in 2019. Part of that was a legal payout, but it's still a huge amount of money. Median teacher pay for the state of California. You know, we hear often about how teachers are tremendously underpaid, and you know, we need to sacrifice the education of kids, whatever money could go into that, so that we can pay teachers more. I'm totally down with teachers. I mean, I love teachers. They're absolutely great. You know, we need more of them, good ones. But the median total compensation is $130,000 a year right now. So is that rich? No, absolutely not. But I think it's fairly paid. I think they're being paid fairly for the job at that point. So, you know, when we see them demanding more money to be taken from money that could be used for education, that annoys me and bothers me. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the San Diego Unified thing that's going on right now, layoffs. They're laying off several hundred employees. So last year, they gave themselves a 15% raise, freshest in the board, through the 15% raise. The median comp at that point with San Diego Unified teacher was $138,000 a year. So they gave themselves a 15% raise, and county warned them and said, you're going to have to cut. If you approve this raise, you're going to have to cut. They ignored it, did it anyway. Now they're cutting. So, you know, that's what happens. There's usually a distance between the raise and the cut, usually about 3 or 4 months at least, because they want everybody to forget that the reason they're cutting is because they gave themselves a raise. So that's how we typically see it. So, so things like that just happen, you know. It's all frequently in public of an employee. Police.
Is it just you examine the data and provide us with that information. I mean, the question that I think people are listening and wondering is, do these people not see that there's not an endless supply of money, that they're not going to just keep getting money? Maybe they think they're just going to keep getting money. Maybe they think they can just keep raising taxes and get more and more at the end of the day. But this just seems like so unbelievably negligent. If you know, we raise our pay 15%, we're going to end up paying, we're going to end up cutting all these people. And they just don't care. They just, you know, they give themselves raises anyway. I don't know. What are
people
your thoughts?
People don't watch school board meetings. People don't watch council meetings. People don't look at the details. You know, unfortunately, by the time they find out, it's too late. You know, it's already happened. Like I say, in the case of San Diego Unified, the county themselves, the county office, which is responsible for making sure our school districts are in financial shape, said, they sent up a letter the day of the board meeting that said, you're going to have to cut $131 million is what they said if you improve this raise. But yet they didn't disclose that. They didn't say that in the meeting. They didn't tell people that before they approved it. And they never have disclosed it. I've never heard them mention it in a meeting. I went and spoke in front of them a few weeks ago when they had the layoffs and asked if they were now going to apologize to all the low-paid people who were losing their jobs because everybody else wanted a 15% raise.
This is just like the minimum wage fast food thing in California.
Exactly. It's exactly the same effect. But we're using weight. And the thing against me is that parents aren't there, you know, demanding. The schools will make an argument all the time that the reason we can't educate our kids properly is because we don't get enough money from the state. That is what they will say all the time. In reality, the state funding has gone up at 3 times the rate of inflation in the last 10 years. And the problem is not that they don't get enough money. The problem is that they choose to give it to themselves rather than using to improve education. So I would beg parents to be marching in the streets about that. But, you know, we get a few parents and board meetings to get in and say something, but not enough.
All right. So you guys have an incredible site. And we were talking about before we hopped on. If you are a data nerd who loves to look at this stuff, give me 1 second and I can pull this up for us. So this is your guys' site. So it's very straightforward, transparentcalifornia.com. You can go here and look up salaries. So I'm going to your site. Tell me, give me a name or a job title I can look up that will find something.
Sure. Let's take a look at, let's look at James Hammond to me, James and then H-A-M-M-O-N-D. Search.
Okay.
Okay, so there he is. So you can see that he's, he made 743,000 in 2021, 728,000 in 2019, I guess that is, and so on and so forth. So that's how you can look up, you know, pretty much anybody you want. Typically, I urge people to look up their local school superintendent or their local city manager, the chief of police. You know, often the you know, I'm totally down with police. I think, you know, they do a job that's absolutely necessary. But if you look at, you know, like, let's give you another name to look up here. Let's look up Herman Robinson.
Robinson.
Yeah, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. Yep, you got it. So Herman Robinson is a police officer in Vallejo. He makes his total compensation $879,000 last year. So, wow. You know, with the people at Vallejo, Herman is probably the most awesome police officer in the face of the earth, and I'm very glad that he's there. But with the people of Vallejo, maybe he'd be better off if they cut his salary back to him, he's the $250,000 or something, and paying it and 3 or 4 more police officers on the beat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, would that benefit them?
I'm going to put in, I just looked him up because I was interested. Lamont Jackson is superintendent for San Diego Unified.
Yeah.
Are police officers on here?
Yeah. Police officers are on there. Firefighters are on there. There are.
His regular pay is $359.
Yeah. And then total with benefits is $475. So
I got into the wrong business.
One of the critical things about being in the wrong business, so people look at that $475 and they go, well, that doesn't count because that's not take-home money. I can't buy groceries with that because a big chunk of that is benefits. But I can tell you,
huge.
Yeah, Camille, as a mom, I mean, how much would you appreciate having a healthcare plan that was fully paid for by someone else that was totally gold-plated and flushed? No co-pays, no deductibles, you know, or minimal co-pays and deductibles.
The thing is, my daughter just got out of the hospital a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. And the average total expense on healthcare for most of our public employees is above $25,000 a year. If you look at what they're spending.
That include dental.
That includes dental, everything.
Four kids do braces.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband put them through. I stay home. But. Yeah.
And then when it gets even worse when you talk about retirement benefits. So right now, the state and the total contribution to a teacher is, so William Bowie's teachers to them is the most familiar with them, is 29% of their pay every single year. Every single year, they get 29% of their pay contributed to their retirement account. So if you as a private employee got 29% of your pay and put it into your 401k, you would have tens of billions of dollars after a 30-year career. You know, so it's amazing. So
you're young. It's not too late for you, Phil. Get out.
I'm looking at this going, I might as well just trade in my bar license and try and get one of these positions. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I pulled up Barbara Ferrer, who was recently in the news because what did I just post something about? Something was racist. Oh gosh, now I can't remember. I just posted it today on Instagram.
Because it was so ridiculous.
And she's at the head of this, and she's the director of public health in Los Angeles. We don't have to go back down the COVID road. She didn't do great on it. I think she did horrible. I don't think she has any. She's not a doctor. Yet she's the director of public health in Los Angeles, and her regular pay is $490. Total pay and benefits is $661,000 a year.
And then she says things like STDs in LA are because of racism. That's what you posted.
That's what it was. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And this site alone should make people sick.
Yeah. Well, then that, you know, you look at some of the people in charge, like, I saw a special on CNN about homelessness in San Francisco a while back, and they're walking around with a bunch of officials who they paid something like $90,000 to draw lines on a parking lot so people could put tents in there. And I'm looking, this guy is giving us a tour, and I'm looking him up. That guy made almost $400,000 a year. So he's making $400,000 a year to supposedly solve the homeless problem.
To draw chalk lines?
To draw chalk lines or paint lines. Gosh. So, I mean, the fundamental problem is that there's no connection between pay and performance.
That's it. And getting a job in the public sector and bye, Phil. Sorry.
Yeah,
I wouldn't blame you if that was the case, because it's just, I mean, like, people say, like, oh, you go into the public sector, you don't make any money. That's clearly not the case here. If you're in California, you can get a good job and make a ton of money.
Are social workers on there?
Probably. They probably don't make a lot of money usually. But one of the fundamental things is that they don't make a lot of money to start. You know, when you're involved in a teacher negotiation, often you ask parents, like, how much do you think teachers make? And they'll say $40,000, $50,000. In reality, of course, we know it's 130-some thousand, you know, in median. That's a midpoint. But what they're using is the starting pay. So, you know, when the labor union negotiates, they deliberately keep the starting pay low, because that is the perception of people of what teachers make. So that drives the feeling that we should increase their pay, because people look at the starting pay and go, oh, that's ridiculous. So in reality, they're in control of that schedule. They can raise the starting pay. If they really believe that they needed to raise starting pay to attract and retain quality teachers, just raise it. It's their negotiation. They could do it anytime. All they'd have to do is take the money away from somewhere else in the schedule, you know, just like any business. So, yeah.
So talking about the, not the take-home pay, but also the pensions and the benefits, you also broke down a lot on what people are getting paid pension-wise, and I'm just kind of looking at this here now. How much California owes in pension debt. I'm trying to find the number. If you have the number, you can just shoot it.
I don't have the total. It's like $1 trillion or some ridiculous.
No big deal.
But I can tell you, so we have
1.5 trillion is the number.
1.5 trillion. Yeah, I knew it was a big number. We pay about $65 billion in pensions annually. We pay that out. There's 126,000 people who are receiving pensions over $100,000 a year. There's 1,200 over $250,000 a year. So,
1.5 trillion.
Yeah.
That 0.5 is a huge number, too.
Yeah.
That's a huge number in addition to 1 trillion. 1.5 trillion. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And one of the things, though, is that they feel like the pensions are such a good deal and they're actually being ripped off. You know, they don't, even the math teachers in school districts apparently don't get this. But if you know, imagine if the school district just gave you 25% of your salary and let you put it into a 401k. You know, not that we would save money, because it wouldn't be 29%. People would save money. You could use that to improve education. But the person would get on $100,000, they'd get $25,000 a year for 30 years put into their 401k. And at the end of that, they can leave it to their kids, you know, which you can't do on a pension. You know, when you pass away on a pension, generally a spouse can get it. You can cut the right pension set up, but you can't leave it, you know, to your kids or grandkids or anything like that. So technically, you know, they're really being ripped off and they just don't know it when it comes to the pensions.
That's, I struggle to think how they believe they're going to pay $1.5 trillion. 1.5 million would be nothing. That'd be a drop in the bucket. 1.5 trillion in pension debt. And they keep raising it. Like you said, people in California keep complaining that it's not high enough. So it's never going down, like where do we even go from here with $1.5 trillion in debt?
Well, it's easy to predict. So right now, I think about 70% of the pension debt is, or the future pension obligations are funded. So they are only funded to pay out 70-some percent of the benefits that they've promised. So at some point, they're going to hit the wall. At some point, they're not going to have enough money to pay out benefits at the rate that they're paying out now. So when that happens, really only one of two things can happen. Either they can cut the benefits or they can increase taxes. So they're betting on when they go to when they hit that wall and they need more money, they go to the people, they say, oh, we need to raise taxes. These poor public employees aren't going to get their full benefits unless we do. And they're betting that the people will approve it. I'm kind of hoping the people don't. I'm kind of hoping that I mean, I want them to get their benefits. I mean, you shouldn't cheat people out of benefits they've been promised. Absolutely not. But on the other hand, the warning signs are there right now. So if you're a public employee out there and you're listening to this, you need to advocate for someone to take up your case and make the pension system make sense. You know, they need to make people contribute more to their own pensions. They need to do something with the way the pension system is managed. They need to do something to fix the pension system now, because coming to the people 5 or 10 years from now and just say, well, nothing we can do now except raise taxes, is probably not a winning strategy.
Well, I can imagine the commercials that you know, SEIU and California Teachers Association, they'll blast all over our screens, will be these poor teachers and you don't want them to lose their pension, and they'll show all these poor teachers, but they're not going to talk about the guy making $400,000 a year. One's going to say that poor guy $400,000 a year needs someone to pay for his pension.
No, they're known for misleading stats. You know, the LA Unified had a strike or had a negotiation last year with the classified staff. And if anybody deserves more money, it's classified support staff. But the union put out this number that the average person made $25,000 a year. And I was like, how is that possible? That's actually below minimum wage. If the average person in LA Unified makes less than $25,000, LA Unified is violating minimum wage laws. So I went through and I looked at our data, and the average was actually $73,000. So huge difference between what they said in their marketing to convince people versus what actual numbers say.
Who's doing these numbers? That failed public school education, failed them, and they can't do math.
Well, I think it's kind of on purpose. I think so if I look at our data, there's 8,000 people in LA Unified that exist in their records that got paid nothing. So if I include all of them, then I can get down to something like 33,000. I can get a lot closer to their number. So, but they're not saying, I mean, I think a person who exists in the records but didn't make any money can't be counted as an employee. You can't say that's representative of what people make.
So who would that be? Like who would be in the district not making money?
I don't know why they exist in the payroll system. Maybe they're getting some benefit of some sort. You know, maybe they're in there because they're a sub and they just never worked, you know, or something. You know, I don't really know why they exist, but they're there. If you look at the data, they're there. So that's what bothers me the most. Is and if our public employees came out and said, okay, you know, the average firefighter makes $142,000 a year, but we don't think that's enough. We think you should make more, and we're going to cut funds to repair ruins to do that. So then people can make an honest decision. They can say, yes, it's more important to me to pay firefighters more than it is to have, you know, pothole-free roads. I'd be fine with it. You know, the problem that I have is basically just lying with the numbers and making things up.
Right.
There is nothing more obscene to me. You've had Rebecca Friedrichs on your show. She did an awesome job. There is nothing worse to me than public employees holding the education of kids hostage for more financial benefit for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, anywhere else in society, if you like held a kid over a railroad track and said, either give me money or I'm going to drop this kid, that would not work, you know. But yet routinely in public, you know, we see people saying, we're going to damage the education of your kids unless you give us more money. And that's just unacceptable to me. That's just not the way it should work.
Yeah, and I feel like this is all people who are listening. I definitely encourage you to go check out Transparent California. Play around with it. Put numbers in or put names in, put positions in, because I think you'll be sickened to see how much some of these people make. And information is power. And I think it's important to get that out there where people can see these numbers. They see them black and white. They can see right through it. They can see that they're being lied to. I mean, Camille and I are big believers in look up the data. You can look up a lot of this stuff. You can find the actual facts and data and do the research yourself. So I encourage anyone who's listening and or tuning in, just check out transparentcalifornia.com and play around with it. Just put in a couple, you know, wherever you live in a certain place, go check out the superintendent of your kid's school and, you know, look at how much they're making and if they're driving a Rolls Royce or something like that. I don't know. It's always the kids too. It's always the teachers, and they always roll out the teachers, poor kids and stuff like that. But they never roll out the other bureaucratic official who's making $600,000 a year. So you put out 2022 numbers. When are we going to see 2023 numbers?
So our collection cycle is based on the state controller's office cycle for those mandatory reporting that I mentioned earlier. So we can't start collecting until they've put out their deadline. Their deadline for cities, counties, and such is April 30th.
Okay.
So we really can't even start collecting until April 30th. If we start before that, all we get is kickback to me because they say we don't have it. We can't get it because we don't have it. So then we got to make another request. So once the kickoff happens, April 30th, now we've got this team of basically three part-time people who need to make 3,000 Public Records Act requests. So generally that cycle tends to take 6 to 9 months to do. So we start with the biggest agencies first. So LA County, LA City, Sacramento, we start with the big ones first. So you'll see those. But it will take, by the time we get down to the little cities, the school districts, the charters and all that stuff, it'll be probably 2025 before we've got the 2023 data all uploaded. So if any of your viewers want to prioritize anything, if they quote sponsor an agency, which is only $25 on our site, you can click sponsor, $25, and that puts it at the top of the list. When I get my list of, okay, what do we need to ask next week? What 100 or 200 Public Records Act requests that we're going to make next week, the sponsored ones are at the very top of the list. So if you really have an intent to see some data from some agency, just sponsor it and it'll go, right to the front of the line. So that's the best way to get that kind of data. You can also ask yourself, if you really want to, you can just say, you can make a Public Records Act request and say, I'd like the same data that you can get from Transparent California. And they'll have to give it to you. That's a good
thing too. I mean, $25 is a pretty good price to get all the information about one of your local agencies that you're interested in. So
yeah, you'll get it anyway for free. I mean, we don't charge anybody for anything. So you'll get it. The real question is particularly if it's a smaller agency, we probably won't get into it until the end of this year, early next year. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to come in April, or May or whatever, they give us a response, then that helps for that.
So in wrapping up before we log off tonight, talking about sponsorships and stuff like that, where can people find more or support Transparent California and support the cause?
TransparentCalifornia.com. So you go there, you can look things up. If you want, we have a free way to subscribe. So you can just click subscribe and it's free. And then we will notify you when new data is posted. So if you really want to see, what that local cemetery district director is making, you can click subscribe, put in your email, and then whenever data gets posted, you'll get an email on it. So that's all free. Sponsorship prioritizes subscriptions, just basically let you know when something comes in. And of course, you can donate as well. Everybody is welcome to donate. We're a 501c3, so it's tax deductible. So you can do that if you'd like to do it as well.
Well, now I'm interested in seeing what the cemetery district supervisor or whatever does in San Diego. I didn't even think of that. That's a public position, and they probably make a bajillion dollars.
When I was on the CPC, podcast, Will Swain was like, is there really such a thing as a cemetery district? Yes, there is. There's about 14 or 15 of them in the state.
I'm sure. And they probably make decent money based on what we've learned tonight. All right. Well, Todd, thank you so much for coming back on. I urge everybody to go check out Transparent California if you can, support it, because like I said, information is power. And the more people start to figure out and spread the word about how much these people are making, how they're being irresponsible with a lot of this money, I think it will change minds and hearts, and hopefully that policy will bubble upwards. So outside of the website, is there any other place that people can follow Transparent California on the daily?
Facebook, Twitter. You know, we have a Facebook page, and we typically post there. We repost when we can. Mentioned in the media almost every day. Almost every day, a reporter somewhere uses our data to illuminate some story. So we repost those stories there, and we also repost those out on Twitter. Any little tidbits, you know, if we turn over a rock and find a police lieutenant paying $800,000 a year, we might post that, you know, on the Facebook page. We have a blog, you know, for longer form things. If you really want to know what the ins and outs are of education pay in the state of California, teachers, administrators, support staff, benefits, there's a whole blog series on our website on that if you want to know the gory details. So things like that, so you can keep in tune. And mainly right now we have tax, it's tax season, right? You know, so we're going to see taxes increase this year. We've got how many cities in San Diego County have tax increases? This is on the agenda. So if the next time your city council comes to you and says, we cannot provide you with X service because we don't have enough money, go look at how much they pay themselves. You know, and we bet I've seen people actually go to city council meetings and school board meetings and just read from Transparent California. Just go, okay, you tell us we need to raise the sales tax here. Meanwhile, here's a list of all the people, you know, standing in front of me or in the city that make over $250,000 a year. Just let them know you know that you're watching. So that's what the data is for.
Yeah. Information is power. Well, thank you, Todd, for coming on again. Look forward to maybe next year, come back on, give us more updates, see if we found any $800,000 janitors or something.
Sound good. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And as we end every show, like to make sure you like, share, subscribe, review, comment, all that stuff helps with the algorithm. And the best thing you can do to support the show, it's absolutely free, is just share it with someone who's interested in learning more about how much do we pay our public officials and why is it so damn much? Go check out Transparent California. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one. Later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of California Underground. If you like what you heard, remember to subscribe, like, and review it. And follow California Underground on social media for updates as to when new episodes are available.